RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome in. Just ask Jim Harbaugh about chicks and khakis. That's what they dig. Khakis, white socks, and brown shoes. Ladies come running. Talking a little college football, I do want to mention real quick that you know what's going to happen tonight. So the Blazers beat the Boston Celtics last night, and now the Mavericks are in town. They will lose to the Mavericks.
100%.
In the most Blazer thing ever. They beat the Boston Celtics, and you know what's going to happen. Like, the 12-win Dallas Mavericks are going to wipe the floor with them tonight.
Cooper Flagg might have 40.
That freaking team, I have no idea what to make of the Blazers. None whatsoever. It's like any time, like the remote chance that I start paying attention, I'm like, oh, you beat the Celtics. I'm like, and here come the Mavericks. Although it does look like Denny's going to be an all-star. He was seventh in the West voting, which is cool because this will be the first non-Dame all-star in like a gajillion years. Like, we don't get all-stars out here in Portland. And Denny, I'm just going to put my head down and run over everyone as he gets to the cup. Denny Avia is an all-star. He is having a hell of a year. So I don't know what to make of the Blazers, but I know that guy's an all-star. So it was kind of cool to see that the fan voting is showing that. So we will, regardless of what happens, you don't have a coach. I have no idea what the hell the roster is going to look like next year. Apparently, Jeremy Grant may get dealt to Milwaukee because somehow the Bucks want to deal with the Blazers again. You want Jeremy Grant? Cool. Take him. Fine. Yeet. Get out of here. But the fact that we got an all-star this year, that's pretty cool. Something to hang your hat on.
Last one since LaMarcus Aldridge and Dame both had it in 2014.
It's been a while. It's been a while. So it'll be nice. Nice to see Denny get that recognition. He's having a hell of a year. We'll move into some college football here, and I'll touch upon this because we'll have this. We got Stockwatch coming up next, and then in the 5 o'clock hour, Dan Murphy will join us from ESPN. He wrote a piece on the Texas Tech billionaire funding the rise of that program and actually trying to, quote, save college football. I have defended, and as I've said many times, I have defended the world of college football. I think right now there is a lot of pearl clutching going on in the world of college football saying, oh my God, everything about the sport is being ruined, and I disagree. Numbers are better than ever. Ratings are up. Revenue's up. And we have a college football playoff here that's going to be really, really good. And it feels more open again than ever. I think it feels, finally, the talent feels dispersed where it's not one or two teams. I mean, in years past, Texas Tech and Oregon don't have a chance to win a national championship. They just don't. There's a legitimate path forward. The mighty Ohio State doesn't look that mighty. Indiana is the number one team in the country, for God's sakes. So all this talk that college football is being ruined, no. Are there problems with it? Yes. And especially if you're a group of five team or you're not one of the big boys, and even if you aren't one of the big boys. So I mentioned the Portal House. Tulsa, this is how bad the portal has gotten. And I mentioned that Iowa State, which is a good program, Iowa State is a borderline top 25 program every year, right? That's, let's say they're a top 30 program, right? If you're going to go top 30 jobs in America, Iowa State is somehow in that conversation. It's a good program, right? Iowa State lost their coach in Matt Campbell to Penn State. So obviously people thought pretty highly of Matt Campbell. They have 17 players on their roster. 17. That's it. One starter. Auburn, which last time I checked, Auburn is a pretty decent job.
Pretty legit. I guess, history of college football at that school.
And Hugh Freeze got fired. I would just like to point out that they lost by one score to Oklahoma, who was a playoff team. They lost by six to Texas A&M, who was a playoff team. They lost by seven to Alabama, which was a playoff team. And they lost in overtime to Vandy, which a lot of people think was supposed to be a playoff team, right? And that, you know, look, you don't get the job done, you get fired. But if you're Hugh Freeze, you were probably in an alternate universe saying, guys, we were really close to being a good team and everyone was coming back. Everybody. That was it. All of their best players were young. I don't know if you've seen Auburn's roster. Auburn might have less players in it right now than Iowa State. I was kind of looking through trying to see who's coming back for Auburn. The list of players that are that are leaving or in the portal are it's three times the size of the teams that are the players that are coming back. Their top two quarterbacks, their top two running backs, their top four receivers, their top two tight ends, their top three offensive linemen, their top two defensive linemen, all in the portal. And by the way, their best receiver, Cam Coleman, who is one of the best receivers in football, he's officially entered the portal. And you know where he's been linked to right now? And this is relevant around here, the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
So if you're, I mean, that's Auburn. Auburn's not Iowa State. Auburn won a national title. Auburn is a good job. I looked at JMU, who had a phenomenal year. Whatever you think of JMU and James Madison, whether or not they belonged in the national title or in the national title playoff or not, and what happened at Oregon. I went through their transfer portal. You think it's bad for the Iowa States and for the Auburns of the world? This is James Madison's starting offense. QB portal, running back portal. Wide receiver graduated, transfer portal, tackle portal, center graduated, right guard portal, right tackle portal. That's their offense.
I think only the tight end stayed?
No, tight end's gone.
Well, then not a single person.
Their third best receiver is sticking around. Third best. North Texas, who was a game away from making the college football playoff, right? They lost to Tulane, otherwise North Texas would be in there. I don't know if you see North Texas's roster. Both running backs gone. top two defensive linemen, best linebacker, best secondary guy, or best safety, best corner. Drew Mestemaker, who was their star quarterback, he's gone. Coach gone. This is the reality of where college football sits. It is, if you are a group of five team and you have a good year, your roster is gone. Not only is your roster gone, but your coach is gone. And the fact that that's bleeding over into the Iowa States, the fact that that's bleeding over into Auburn, is that the end of the world for college football? No. Because ultimately, that talent being dispersed, like if Oregon picks up one of the best receivers, Mestemaker, let's say he ends up at a school like Penn State or he ends up at Vandy and becomes the next Diago Pavia, is that ultimately good for the playoff? Sure. But I don't know how these teams, year to year, I don't know how you keep doing this. I don't know how anymore, unless you're one of those schools that has a $30 million payroll, I don't know how you keep together a roster. Now, that's not a reason to say that the whole system needs to be torn down and you need to give everyone antitrust protection, because you're basically at this point, if you're college football, you're asking the government to fix a problem that you have created. And you're now finally having to realize that you did this to yourself and now you want someone to bail you out because you can't stop feeding upon yourself. And that I can't buy. Do things need to be changed? Sure. Because right now it is crazy. And I mentioned the Tulsa house. So Tulsa, who, by the way, it's not like Tulsa is necessarily like the end all to be all of football programs, but Tulsa is a decent program. Tulsa has actually rented out a big house on campus, and it's going to be from January 2nd to January 16th, and they're running a social media campaign, and they're calling it the Tulsa House. It's going to have film room, recruiting ops, all access. They're going to film the whole thing, and it's all going to be under one roof. And it will be their home of operations for 14 days. They're going to have 45 to 50 visits in those 2 weeks. Coaches need somewhere to host and sleep because they don't know who the players are. They don't have enough players anymore to host kids. So they're just going to do it in like in a house and make it a reality show. School is closed until January 21st, so they need a spot to like entertain kids. So they're going to rent this house, deck it out with the pool and all the little goodies that you're going to have there. It still utilizes campus and football like a normal building would, but it's an off-campus. They're just renting a house. And then they're going to document it Barstool kind of is going to spearhead this, and they're going to do like a Hard Knocks documentary style about how it works. And then former donors and players are going to come along and kind of be there, and they're going to make a big scene out of it. And that's literally what one school is having to do to try to handle the transfer portal. These coming January 2nd is when the portal opens. This is now going to become the most chaotic time in sports history. January 2nd, because if you're Iowa State or you're Auburn and you're North Texas, you have 14 days to fill out a roster. And if your school's like Oregon and Ohio State, you're playing for a national championship and you have 14 days to figure out who on your team is going to stay and who do you need to go get. Because you may not need to load up the way everyone else does, but look at like Oregon, for example, look how many players are on their championship type roster that are from the portal. And you have to actively be out there grabbing these kids while you're trying to go win a national championship. I promise you, someone from Oregon right now is talking to that receiver, Cam Coleman from Auburn, right now. And meanwhile, you're trying to talk to your team and be like, no, no, no. Everyone stay, everyone stay, everyone stay. Oregon's already lost kids that are backups that are leaving the program in the midst of a national championship run.
Three kids so far.
Yeah. To the point where is everyone, this Tulsa House thing, this is the first, it won't be the last. This will not be the last.
It probably won't even be the most popular.
So it's just, this is where I do feel bad. Is college football ruined? No. Is it over? No, it's not. But do I feel bad for programs? Yes, I do. When you are a legitimately good, solid program like Auburn and Iowa State and you don't have any players, I feel bad for you. The fact that North Texas and Tulane and James Madison put together great seasons and then literally had your roster every single year. And by the way, if you recruit and do it again, it will be gutted next year. That's the one thing. For those schools, I don't know how you do this year after year after year. For the big boys, you'll be fine. That's not going to happen.
But for these group of fives.
For the group of fives and the lower tier Power Four teams, the Iowa States of the world, and maybe this does include the Auburns, maybe that's just the reality, is Auburn is now a lower tier SEC team. For programs like that, I do not know how you do this year after year and have it be a sustainable model. And if you're a coach, why do you want to stay at a school where you have to do this year after year after year? If you're a Matt Campbell or you're someone like that, the idea of just hanging around in Iowa State and just, you know, hey, this is a good job, they pay me well, I'm not certain that that's the case anymore. I'm just not certain if those coaches are going to want to stick around and deal with this year after year after year. How it ends up getting solved, what ends up at in a couple years, I don't know. I don't know what this looks like, but this is the one thing I will tell you that I think is going to be hard to sustain for certain programs. And change is coming. Just don't know what that change looks like. Although we've got one guy from Texas Tech that thinks he has the answer, and we'll talk about that at 5 o'clock. Next, though, a little stock watch. As primetime rolls on here on 105.1 The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Yeah, it's like the transfer portal for adults. When you decide that, you know, might be time for you to seek other opportunities at other universities and try to find some more playing time, try to find some more time on the field, maybe find a better quarterback, maybe find a different center, maybe find a tight end that isn't interested in a quarterback other than you, then that's where 1-800-DIVORCE comes in. Talk to Colin and those guys over there. They're good dudes. And look, we all can use the portal out from time to time. It's the Portal House, by the way, that sad divorced dad apartment. We all know that, right?
That's going to be the divorced dad's favorite show to watch.
Yeah. We've all been there before. Like, everyone had that friend whose dad got divorced, and then, like, you went over to, like, his dad's house, and it was just, like, that weird... The apartment was beige, and there was just, like, a weird, like, somewhat pleather couch in the corner. And, like, the dad would, like, let you smoke weed or whatever because he didn't care anymore. He hated his life. And then his new girlfriend, Sandra, would come over. You're like, oh, my God. Like, are you all right, Mr. Pearson? He's like, oh, never better. Never better. You drinking at 9 a.m? Don't ask me. Don't ask me about my
Wednesday.
Business. Yeah, we've been there. It was Mr. Myers for us. A stack of Playboys in the corner. You're like, oh, that's cool, I guess, and sad.
Sports Illustrated's on the coffee table.
Welcome to the Portal House for single adults. So, 1-800-DIVORCE. It's time to enter the portal. All right, let's get to Stockwatch. What do you got for me, lowercase?
The Raiders got smoked yesterday by the Giants inside of Las Vegas. The Giants had lost 9 straight games, and they won yesterday 34-10. The Raiders, with the loss, are the favorites to have the number one pick in the next NFL draft. Earlier in the week, the Raiders stuck Max Crosby on IR. Then Crosby posted a video of him shooting hoops and jumping on a trampoline outside of his house. The NFL is going to have a massive tanking problem, just like the NBA.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And I don't know, at some point if you end up in some sort of lottery odds like they do, but that doesn't necessarily stop the NBA from tanking. Although I don't think the NFL tank is quite as bad because you're a 500 team, you can realistically have a chance of making the postseason. And if you are tanking, it's over 2 or 3 games, as opposed to the NBA that sometimes you can have a tank over 60 games. So is there a tanking problem? Yeah. I think shutting guys down and doing that, I think it's a bad look for the league. Is it the same level as the NBA to where you're going to have to institute a lottery? I don't think so, but it's not a good look. The other thing about tanking that's hard is there's no guaranteed contracts in the NFL, and most of those guys that are on the field are playing for their lives. And I just don't think it will ever reach the point. Will there be a tanking problem? Maybe. Will it be NBA tanking? No. The NFL will never allow that. Plus, in the NBA, when you tank, it's no big deal. Like, you just go out and you don't care. In the NFL, when you tank, you get your ass kicked and you get embarrassed. And it won't happen. The league won't, the sport itself and the way it's set up, it will not allow for NBA tanks. It just won't.
The big question in the college football playoff is that teams that get a bye week are at a disadvantage. The last season, all 4 teams who had a bye lost in the quarterfinals. The Ducks ended up having a tune-up game against James Madison, and a ton of fans think this will help them because they won't have a 26-day layoff like Texas Tech. Fans are overthinking this. All 4 teams who had a bye last year were underdogs, and this season, all 4 teams with a bye will win and advance to the semis.
Yes, I do think there is an element of we're giving too much. We're putting too much weight in this. It's 1 year, and as you mentioned, every one of those teams was an underdog. Now, Ohio State was better than Oregon. They proved it. You could make the argument that they should have beat Oregon 1 second more on the clock, and they beat Oregon at Autzen Stadium, and we saw what Ohio State went on and did. So did the layoff hurt Oregon? Sure. I don't think it helped that Ohio State got to knock off the rust, but let's not act like if Oregon had to play a game the week before, that game would have gone much different. Ohio State was just better than you on that given day. And to be honest with you, they were just better than you, period. It was a better team. So, you know, Alabama and Indiana, you know, is Bama over that, you know, getting to play that game against Oklahoma, is that going to fix Alabama's run game? Is it going to fix their offensive line? No. I just think we put too much stock in that. I think if you're Oregon, I think if they're being honest because they got to play James Madison, they're probably happy that they got to knock the rust off. Is Alabama happy that they fell down 17-0 to Oklahoma? No. So given my choice between playing a competitive game that I could lose or getting a bye, give me the rest and the bye. If I get to play Tulane or I get to play James Madison, yeah. Knock the rust off. But no, I do not think we're going to live in a world where Oregon, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Miami all win. In fact, I'll go on a limb. I think you get one. I don't think Alabama beats Indiana. I don't think Ole Miss beats Georgia. Let me also point out, when Alabama and Ole Miss played, Georgia had 8 possessions. They scored on 8 possessions. And the only reason that game was close is Ole Miss scored a lot too. Something tells me that's not going to happen again. I don't think Miami is nearly as good as Ohio State. I think the one game where you could see it happen, I think Oregon's better than Texas Tech. I think that's close to a coin flip game, and that's one where I do think knocking off the rust may help. But no, you're not going to see the bye teams just rolling through this year in the playoffs. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. Last one I got is a little bit of a lengthy one. The Steelers obviously play the Ravens for the division this Sunday night.
The Titans. The Titans of that division.
They will be possibly without their best defensive player in TJ Watt. Yeah. However, Nick Herbig, who has filled in for TJ Watt, leads the league in pass rush win rate rankings.
In case you're trying to hold on to some advanced analytics to assuade his Steeler fandom's doubt.
Do we believe that the Steelers can get a win without TJ Watt on Sunday?
Yes, I do. Because I don't believe in the Ravens. I don't know what Lamar Jackson is, his status is going to be. And I just think Lamar Jackson, when you look at him this year, he just doesn't look like the same player. And I think so often we do this where we look at a guy and we say, what's wrong with him? And we don't really know. And then at the end of the year, we find out. Lamar Jackson is dealing with a lot of stuff. I think Baker Mayfield is dealing with a lot of stuff. And I mentioned this earlier when we were talking about the Ravens. I think because they're the Ravens, because we thought so highly of them going into this year, I had them in the Super Bowl. I think I had Ravens, Packers. Well, I think it was Ravens, and I said if Matthew Stafford plays 14 games, then it's the Rams. But I didn't believe he was going to play 14 games, so I went with the Packers. The Packers aren't a Super Bowl team, and the Ravens aren't a Super Bowl team. But because we thought about the Ravens in that way, we're constantly looking for reasons why the Ravens will flip a switch. Just like with the Seahawks this year, we keep trying to find ways to knock Seattle down. Because
ways that we're going to watch Darnold implode.
Yeah, because it's like we didn't think of Seattle as a Super Bowl team. But the reality of it is, when we look at the Ravens, they have beaten the Cleveland Browns, the Chicago Bears, which now, I mean, the Bears are a good team, but look at the way the Bears have won their games. That's the most fortunate team in the history of the NFL. Dolphins, Vikings, Browns again, Jets, Bengals, and the Packers. And that Packers team was down to their third-string quarterback, didn't have their best receiver, didn't have their best running back, didn't have their best tight end, didn't have Micah Parsons. I mean, it's a shell of a team. And by the way, Malik Willis was torching him until his shoulder fell apart because it's made of crab meat and his injection.
Because he hasn't thrown all year.
His ejection worn off. So, like, there's not good wins in there. So the idea that whether Lamar plays or not, and who knows, you'd like to think on this one that he's going to play. But even if he does, to say that the Steelers are incapable of beating the Ravens, no. No, and I don't like the Steelers at all. Darnell Washington just broke his forearm. Whether or not TJ Watt plays, I don't know. DK Metcalf is suspended.
He's out.
Look, when Scotty Miller is TJ Watt is officially out.
DK is officially suspended.
Yeah, DK is suspended. Yeah, he's not playing.
TJ Watt's still up in the air. That's leaning towards probably not playing.
When you're relying on Valdez-Scantling and Scotty Miller, I mean, come on. And through much of the year, like Aaron Rodgers has decided that all he wants to do is get rid of the ball in half a second so he doesn't get hit because he's 1,000 years old. There's nothing to have a belief in the Steelers. But when you're playing the Ravens, who I have no faith in whatsoever either, it's a coin flip game. I mean, look, let's be honest. It's two teams that aren't very good. And yet one of those teams is going to the postseason. And by the way, we saw this game, a month ago? And the Steelers managed to beat them, 27-22. So yes, do I think the Steelers can beat the Baltimore Ravens? Yes. Do I think they will? No. No. But at this point in the NFL, I just don't know how many teams I trust. And I can assure you that one of the teams that I don't trust is the Baltimore Ravens.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I understand why you're a little jammed up.
I'm grasping at straws here.
Well, and that's and maybe this is the normally I would tell you that who cares? You're welcome to being a first round exit in the postseason, because just that's what's gonna happen, I think, to either one of these teams. But maybe not. Because when you look at the playoffs this year,
they seem pretty open.
As I've stated, this has never been more open. I've never at least in my time in doing this in 20 years, I've never walked into an NFL playoffs thinking, I don't know. Why not?
And think of having, for one of those teams that's, you know, at the four, at the five, at the six, think of having them trying to go play in Pittsburgh, going to play in Baltimore.
The only problem with that...
Those environments are crazy.
The only problem with that is you're probably going to be facing the Texans. And the way the Texans are playing right now on defense, that could be problematic.
And C.J. Stroud is looking really great right now.
Because if you want to find a team that hasn't looked great, but maybe has that feel of the wild card team that makes a run, it's the Texans. Because their offense isn't very good, but it doesn't have to be. If they score 21 points, they are in
They're winning the game.
I think if they would have scored 21, I think they're a 12 or a 13 win team this year. And we're talking about them differently. And it does feel like the offense is starting to get it going a little bit, hit a couple shots against the Chargers and then held on. So that's the downside of whether it's the Steelers or whether it's the Ravens. Whoever gets in, I'm not certain of the teams that you could play. Let's say it's the Texans, Bills, Chargers. I think the team that you don't want to play amongst that, which is weird,
is the Texans. Yeah, I think you've already seen the Chargers. You know that Ladd McConkey is going to have to do special things again. And you've already seen the Bills. Yeah. And in that Bills game, you just didn't stop the run.
Yeah. So at least you get one game.
Yep.
One game. And by the way, it's the Sunday night game. All eyes on you. Because that was the question, is who was going to get the Sunday name? We got Sunday night game. We got three biggies. Bucks,
Panthers,
Seahawks, Niners, and Ravens Steelers. And so if you want to talk about brand management, who got the standalone Sunday night game?
Here we go.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers. So enjoy it, because it may be the last meaningful game that you watch for a while in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
All right, we come back in the news. Here, though, is Casey with an update. Welcome in the news here in just a moment. I do have to say something here, and it's kind of disturbing. But right now, it's the number one story in my news world. There's like no one in the office today, right? Like, in fact, I think it's just you and me, lowercase, and then our special guest, which will be unveiled in the 6 o'clock hour. As
just us.
Yeah, the newest member of the fan team here, Team Primetime. Yeah, there's no one else in the building. So we go in to use the restroom there. I liked your hustle, by the way. You had that Rick Riz sprint to go to the bathroom.
I only got a certain amount of minutes. Yeah. I got to come back, make sure everything's all set up.
So we have one urinal, two stalls in the Odyssey bathroom, right, in the fan bathrooms. So Casey sprinted, took the urinal. So I had to go into one of the stall. And when I walked in there, in what world is this appropriate? Someone not only had left a floater, but all the toilet paper that was used to deal with said floater and then had smeared on the seat. Like, what? And then left it. So you didn't flush. And you, what? How did you end up on the seat? And not like the inside rim. No, just on the side of the seat. Just a big smear. And you decided that you just left that? How long has that been there? Who else did shows today? Are we animals? Is that where we're at? At no point. You want to talk about being a bad human being? I don't know who you are that did that. I really don't. I don't know who all worked here today or who was coming in and out, how long that's been there. But if that was you, you are a terrible human being.
It's just disgraceful behavior.
What are we doing? What's happening? This is just this.
Like, why?
I don't.
Why? You want to leave it for the next person?
I can't figure it out. Because you know you look back. You know you look. So you're telling me you were in that much of a rush?
There's no way. You always look back to flush.
You knew what you were doing. You knew. That was a purpose pitch? That was directed at us? I mean, come on. You didn't bother. There's bleach wipes in the bathroom. You can't give me a courtesy seat wipe?
It was high and inside.
Ooh, dude, just anyway. That was my... I had to get it out there. Hopefully that person's listening. I just, you know, we all think you're a terrible human being. We do. You're a terrible human being. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around. I was trying to think of the circumstance that would lead to that level of rudeness.
It has to be all over yourself.
But even then, you still have to clean yourself up. You didn't just pull up and walk out. you did some sort of tidying up. And even if you did, if it was all over yourself and you're like, well, I have to leave, you can't bother to flush. You use like half a roll of toilet paper that you left there. You couldn't take some of that toilet paper and wipe the seat. At no point, that's where you just decided to leave it. You're despicable. We're on this journey together. This holiday, we're on this journey of life, trying to row in the same direction. And we got someone over there in Turdville. It's just, I have no respect for you. None. And I hope you're listening to this right now and you feel shamed. I hope you do. And I hope you feel judged because I am judging you. You're a disgusting human being. You're gross and kind of pathetic. All right. It's December 29th, the year of our Lord, 2025. It is time for In the News. Squeeze this in real quick. Couple things because, look, it's kind of a slow news day. Texas became the 28th state in the Union in 1885, which, by the way, if you've ever met someone from Texas, how do you know? They will immediately tell you 7 different times and then show you their tattoo of the state of Texas and then tell you that Texas is the greatest place, but please don't move here because we don't want the likes of you in Texas. Yeah, go Texas. I can't do Texas. I can't. I'm out on Texas.
I'm good on Texas food. Texas food, anybody who's a Texan who I've ever cooked with or eaten with, always been good.
It's called Mexican food. I can find it lots of different places.
Yeah.
Barbecue, I can find barbecue different places too. I'll go to Memphis. I'll go to Kansas City. I'm out on Texas. I get it. You guys are great. Yeah. Woo, Texas. Have fun.
That's fair.
You do your own thing. The first bowling ball was invented in 1862. And Thomas Edison, and this pertains to this dumb program, 1891, patented the radio. It is also National TikTok Day, which I was like, is there an actual day for TikTok? No, it's just a get S done day. So it's like kind of the end of the year. If you've got some, like maybe your medical health spending that you got to get covered, or I don't know, if you want to buy that last minute heavy truck for your business, take care of your taxes. It's that whole, you've got like 2 days left before the end of the year. So like I had to buy my daughter was getting Invisalign. And we had like the flex spending on there, and so it was like, well, all right, we got it.
There you go.
We got 2 days. Like, get that done. That was like one of those things. So it's National TikTok Day, not the actual TikTok. Which, by the way, I was sitting at the Winter Hawk game, and we had really nice seats. We were right behind the net, and there was this kid in front of me, and God bless him, he seemed like a nice enough family. He spent the entire game doing TikToks of himself, like playing with his hair and like making funny faces. And the kid, by the way, was like 16. And I thought to myself, if you're that dad, how bad? Because I was looking at the dad. You know that dad just wanted to backhand him.
Deep sigh.
Deep sigh. I felt bad. I felt bad for the dad. Because you got to love your son and the whole thing. Kid had like big earrings in, big chain, kind of broccoli hair. Spent the entire game just staring at his phone doing TikToks. And I just knew. I saw the dad deep down, just conflicted deep down in his soul. I felt for him. I wanted to give the dad a hug. I wanted to be like, you know what? It's all right. It's all right. We've all been there. We've all been there. New laws coming to the state of Oregon. January 1st, by the way, we are getting for God's sakes. I had this article pulled up and it worked. And now that I pulled it up,
asking you to pay for it.
How is that possible? Like, I just had it up to where I had access to this, and immediately when I went to scroll down and look at it.
If you want to read the next stanza, you're going to need to pay $12.99.
You know what? Kudos to you, Oregon Live, because that article was free like 5 minutes ago when I didn't need to read it, and I didn't write down any of the laws that were going to affect January 1st because it was in the article, and the moment I scrolled down to read it on the air, you hit me with that now I have to pay. Kudos to you. You've won this battle, Oregon Live. So when we come back, I'll try to find the laws that will go into effect. We're going to talk about your park pass getting more expensive and how Portland will ring in the new year with a wonderful show, but not fireworks, as In the News rolls on right here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
ESPN Dan's Murphy joins us here in about 5 to 10 minutes. He has an article up on the front page of ESPN about the billionaire booster of Texas Tech's program that's not only trying to take Texas Tech to a national championship, but supposedly, quote, save the world of college football. So we'll talk with Dan here just a little after five. In the middle of In the News right now, squeezing in a couple stories here. As I mentioned before I was ad-blocked, a bunch of new laws coming into effect January 1st. Some of these pretty good. I'm actually fairly happy with this. HB 3522, the law will allow owners and landlords to more easily evict squatters, which is fun. Under the new law, landlords can now use the forcible entry and detainer process to evict squatters, a type of eviction lawsuit that previously only applied to tenants who violated terms of the lease. So, I don't know if you know this, but like people would move into vacant homes and apartments, like Airbnbs,
and just wouldn't leave.
And you could not legally kick down the door and forcibly remove them. It seemed like the most insane thing in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. So people that like would have like a vacation home, someone could go in and as long as they could prove that they had lived there, they'd get like a bill delivered to the house. It could take up to a year to get rid of those people. It's like the most ridiculous thing in the world. So that's, I was very pleased with that. There is a new law going into effect, SB 430, and this is a clear price listing. The law will prohibit online sellers for advertising, displaying, or offering a price for the merchandise that does not include all of the fees and changes that a customer will have to pay. God bless that one. Anyone that's ever bought tickets knows this.
That's big.
Yeah, you see a ticket and you're like, oh, that's sweet. It's $42. And you go to check out.
$60 in fees.
You're like, what the hell? Also, if you're 17 years old and you're looking to get married, sorry, but they're bumping the marriage age back up to 18, which,
good idea.
I would think at 18, you're not allowed to buy alcohol. You can't buy cigarettes. I don't think, 17, you can't own a gun, but you can get married.
Can't rent a car.
Yeah. Seems a little... Maybe life decisions you shouldn't be making at 17, although to be fair, maybe life decisions you shouldn't be making at 18. Also, this one, SB 605, medical debt protections. The law prohibits medical service providers from reporting whether or not a medical patient has medical debt to a consumer reporting agency. Basically, you will not, your credit will not be ruined by medical debt. You cannot get that reported. So I think all good.
Does that also mean that they can't refuse treatment when you don't have insurance?
I don't think they can do that now. Okay. I think that's always been. If you show up into the hospital with a gunshot, I don't think they can ask for your insurance.
Okay.
I think that's kind of one of those, like, yeah. In this country, you show up and you're like, yeah, I'm dying. I think they have to treat you. If you're looking for a way to ring in the new year, for the second year in a row, Pioneer Courthouse Square will host a drone/dance party. Return to downtown Portland, like I said, second straight year. And they will have a drone festival light show there. The mayor says that they're trying to make it a family-friendly event right down there, Pioneer Courthouse Square. And it will kick off at 8 p.m. and will be for everyone if you're looking for a way to celebrate the new year with your fellow Portland residents. All right, we come back. Dan Murphy of ESPN about his article about one Texas Tech booster trying to, quote, save college football from, well, itself. When the fan, I should say, primetime rolls on here on 105.1 The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.